ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचीपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्याग्रजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरघुनतन्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता शिवशाखान्वितांश्च। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Continuing on the subject of pilgrimage, there are various reasons. Pilgrimage and he who makes pilgrimage places, Tirthaka, Bhagavan, Vishnu. So pilgrimage may be performed for various reasons. General idea, it's religious. So it may be to get something from God, some blessing, or maybe to purify oneself, to become free from sins, to bathe in the waters there. Someone may go for attaining liberation. Some specific pilgrimages are made especially to Gaya for offering Shraddha there, the rites for the departed father or mother or other ancestors. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he visited Gaya for that very purpose. He journeyed there to going there, one will take darshan of Vishnupad, the lotus feet of Sri Vishnu Bhagavan. There may be various, so in general it started something that will be beneficial for me. I will be benefited by doing that. In this life, the next life, is the general understanding. And maybe we're expecting to get some religious experience, unless one goes as a sightseer, in which case one is not really a pilgrim at all. Because the understanding is it is a special place. It's not just another place. Different towns are described in different ways. There's such and such a place is a market town. Such and such a place is a railway junction. Such and such is an administrative center. Various settlements have their reasons for existence, or their economic or social function. And of course, some towns, especially big cities, they cover several functions. But the pilgrimage places, they're there just some places are there, and there are many in India, which are specifically for pilgrimage. And everything centers around that, just like Nathdwara, Tirupati, Tirumala. Tirupati, maybe because it became such a big place, it's also made an administrative center now. And then there's educational facilities are there. But that also, in the University at Tirupati is also for Shastra. there are many such places, but not all places are like that. Prayag Raj, which we discussed yesterday, that has its wells, because it is the confluence of a river, it's a very good place to have a town anyway, so it has its importance. The town itself doesn't derive its importance from the terrestrial or secular point of view, only from pilgrimage. Its economy, there are many more things going on than that. But in the holy places, some holy places, they're only centered around the deity, and we'll find that everything there is, there are shops, the whole economy is based on that. There are shops for selling all kinds of paraphernalia, religious paraphernalia, and especially, it's like in Guruvayur, when you come, there's a whole row of shops. And they'll sell pictures in that holy place. They'll sell pictures specifically of the deity who is presiding there. And there'll be all kind of, it's a place where people can get religious paraphernalia. In Vrindavan, for instance, among other things, you can buy religious paraphernalia. You can get mridangas. The clothing there sold, for the male clothing is mostly what we would call devotional clothing, traditional clothing. You can buy clothing for deities. Srila Prabhupada used to make his own for his deities when he was a householder, but many people, they just buy them ready-made for the small deities. and then you can buy sandalwood for making sandalwood paste and the stones for that, and mukuts, crowns for the deities, and you can order them specially, have them specially made. Deities, not so much in Vrindavan, but all kinds of, deities, the brass deities you can. So all kinds of things, and the whole economy centers around that. In the holy places you'll get so many dharamshalas, dormitories, guest houses, which are for facilitating the pilgrims. And of course there are restaurants, and it becomes a whole economic unit. It's all centered around the the pilgrimage. It's expected so many people will come, so facilities are made for them. And then even the whole economy of a country, we can imagine that before oil came to Saudi Arabia, before it was discovered in Saudi Arabia, and the only significant economy there was the pilgrimage to Makkah and Medina. So even from the secular point of view, it's a big thing. And then, just like the Kumbh Mela, that's the world's largest pilgrimage, happens every 12 years, several million people. How much do they estimate? 6 million or something like that. The largest gathering. And the government has to make, the government of Uttar Pradesh makes a huge arrangement for the pilgrims coming there, for their transport, for the generally their areas are given on the sands there, and different religious organizations, they arrange themselves. The government doesn't have to arrange to feed people, but the different organizations, they arrange for accommodation, food, everything. So it's a huge thing which the government has to take note of. They have to arrange with the railways, arrange special trains, and it all goes off very peacefully. there have been fights at the Kumbh Mela in the past over who goes first for bathing, but that's all solved nowadays. It's all set, who goes in which order. So even it becomes such a big thing that even the secular authorities have to take note. And you'll find in Europe that there are flights to, in Ireland, which was until recently a predominantly Catholic country, and still the older generation are very, many of them are strongly Catholic. You'll find flights, daily flights to Lourdes, which is a Catholic holy place in France. You heard of that, Lourdes? Yeah, you heard about it in Croatia also, where people are supposed to get cured by the, and I guess they do so, otherwise people wouldn't bother going. It's just like Tirupati, the people say that you, if you give money, you get more back. And I guess it works, otherwise why would people keep on going? If it didn't work, they'd stop going, wouldn't they? So Lourdes, and then there's an airport at Lourdes, which itself is not, it's just a tiny place, but it's become big due to the pilgrimage there. And there's a place in Ireland called Knock, which is just, it's, the only thing there is that the Virgin Mary appeared there some time ago, and it's a major pilgrimage place. So there's an airport there. Because so many people are going. I wondered why, at one point, there are, I think it's 4 trains a day from Hyderabad or Secunderabad to Manmad. Why to Manmad? Who's heard of Manmad? Some small town in Maharashtra. It's the convenient railhead for Shirdi, that's why. Because so many people go there. I asked, some years ago, why so many trains to the, for Shirdi? They're going to Shirdi on pilgrimage. People will call it Tirtha Yatra. The efficaciousness of, well, they must be getting something also. Won't help them spiritually, but something must be going on there. So people, they go, and the whole idea is that they will be benefited, but their consciousness has to be different to take the benefit. I'll get back to that more in detail, but just in the detail later. But the consciousness that, okay, all my life I spend just eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Now I'm going to God. This is a place where God is directly present, where the spiritual is directly manifested. So I can't go there in my normal consciousness. The consciousness has to be purified. And then, so on the way, one is supposed to, in a holy place, one is not supposed to have sex, one is not supposed to eat meat, if you're in a Hindu holy place, with the, mostly. With Hinduism, whatever you say, there's always an exception. There's no one, you can't say anything about Hinduism without making an exception to it. Can I make an exception to that? Difficult one. Every Hindu believes in reincarnation. No. Well, if you include the Lingayats as Hindus, which they say they're not. Anyway, we're not talking about Hinduism per se now here. So the idea is that we're going to a very, very special place. God is there. We're going there. And they expect to have some religious experience. And actually you can see that on the faces of pilgrims. Many of them, here in South India, people tend to be very grave and not show their feelings, but in North India, it's quite the opposite, especially in matters of bhakti. So people, you can see that they're feeling, experiencing some bliss, coming in the presence of the deity or being in the holy place. So it's a matter of physically we're taking ourselves from our mundane life and going to a holy place. And consciously also, we're going up, we're doing something better. We expect to come down again, so it's not really a tirtha. They're not really crossing over. But the idea is, well, we made a little progress. And that will, that I can continue. That will lift us up. And then when one comes back from a holy place, it's expected that one will be more on a higher platform of consciousness. And that may last for some time. I suspect that among Muslims, I don't really know that much about Islamic culture, but I would expect that someone who has done Hajj is expected to be good by the estimation of Muslims, and to practice Islam strictly, and to be kind in his dealings, and so on and so on. I would expect that. I don't know exactly, but it would be expected that one is going, one may be even going just for some idea to get something. I'm going to pray for my son to pass his exam, or for my husband to be cured from his disease. But it's also expected, because we're going to a holy place, that our consciousness will improve, will become purified. That's the idea there. crossing over. Krishna arranges for us to cross over this material world. How do we do that? It's not exactly by bathing in the water. Not exactly by going to a holy place, but it's all by his mercy, which we can get by, there's a well-known term in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, samashraya. Samashraya means fully taking shelter by the process of initiation. So there's a well-known verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which begins with the word samashrita, samashrita ye paddapalla. It's a beautiful verse. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, he, one time in a conversation, I believe it was in Mayapur, he said how he was praising Vyasadeva, how beautifully he's made, and he quoted this verse as how beautiful it sounds, just the very sound of it. Samashritaye paddapallava plavang mahatpadang punya yasho marare bhavambudhir vatsa padang parang padang 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 yadvipadang natesham. For one who has accepted the boat of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation and is famous as Mukunda, or the giver of mukti, the ocean of the material world is like the water contained in a calf's footprint. Parangpadam, or the place where there are no material miseries, or Vaikuntha, is his goal, not the place where there is danger in every step of life. And if we understand the words of the Sanskrit also, Padda Pallava Plavam Mahat Padam Punya, the words are very poetical and beautiful. So the point here is crossing over the ocean of material existence. How will we cross over an ocean? You've seen the Ganga in Mayapur. Have you seen? Most of you have seen. Most of you sitting on the other side of that camera somewhere in the world. So some bold devotees, they swim across. When you swim across, you have to swim back. I would never attempt it. I'm not strong enough or good enough a swimmer. It's quite a swim to cross the Ganga, especially the flow of the Ganga, the current is very strong. So you start here, you may cross and you may be half a kilometer downstream. It takes you across. So yeah, maybe you can swim across that. What about swimming across the English Channel at its most narrow point? That's the strip of water between England and France. It is regularly crossed. It's 20 miles at the most narrow point, and it's become a fairly common thing for people to swim across. I mean, not that there are dozens of people crossing every day, but it's been done quite a few times. So that's possible for a human, not for me, again. 100 meters is about my limit. I don't know if you could do that much nowadays either. What about swimming across the... How about from... What's the narrowest point? It must be down in the south of Tamil Nadu to Sri Lanka. What, how much distance is that? Any idea? Triplicane? Tuticorin? Triplicane is in Chennai. I don't know. How about from Bombay to Dubai? Can anyone swim? Maybe if they took you in a boat and you rested at night and then they went on. But I don't think at one go. Swimming across the Atlantic Ocean? No way. How will you cross the Atlantic Ocean? You see, you can get a piece of wood and paddle across? No. What kind of boat will you need to cross? That requires a very sturdy boat, one which is fit for crossing those dangerous seas with the dangerous storms. Can we do it? If you see a dog goes in the water and you think, let me catch the dog's tail and the dog will swim and I'll go over the Atlantic Ocean. Is it possible? That's one example given in Shastra. Attempting to cross the ocean of material existence, which is much bigger than the Atlantic Ocean, by holding onto a dog's tail. The dog goes in the water and swims a little bit like this, doggy paddle. another way, if you want to get a boat, and another example is taking shelter of some bogus guru is like getting in a stone boat. Looks good, put out, smash the bottle of wine, champagne against it. They do that in Rijeka. Rijeka is a shipbuilding place. Huh? So when you have a new boat, it's a new ship, it's accustomed to smash a bottle of champagne against it. Who knows why? And then the boat goes out, and then take it out. It won't go. You might be able to somehow or other get it. It'll go down. Go down, down, down. So one has to take shelter of Krishna. Then one can cross over there. The cows are wandering around here. Cows and then smaller other calves. Now if you have to cross some river, we may think how to go. How can we cross? But if there's a calf's hoof print in the field and there's a little water, we don't think, how am I going to go? We don't even think about it. We just walk, that's all. It's totally insignificant. So in the same way, the very difficult ocean, which is impossible to cross, seems all impossible, that can be crossed as easily as one can cross a calf's hoof print if one takes shelter of Murari, the killer of the Mura demon. Well, we're tied up on this side of the ocean by our enemies, six enemies, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. That's material desire, material anger, kam, krodh, material greed, pride, kam, krodh, lobh, moha, illusion, and envy. So we can be freed from that by taking shelter of Murari, who helps to kill these, or does kill these demons. Specifically, the process is given in the Bhagavatam, Nridehaṁ ādyaṁ sulabhaṁ sudurlabhaṁ plavan sukalpo guru karna dharam mayanukulena nabhasmateritam puman bhavabdhim natarit sa'atnaha. That this human body is a suitable vessel for crossing the ocean of material existence. We're very fortunate to have that at the present time, and our fortune is greatly increased if we get a suitable captain to guide the boat. Because even if there's a first class ship, you still need a first class captain who knows, and the crew also. So we can say the captain is the guru and the crew is the devotees who help us. They have to know what they're doing. They have to be, in the old days there were sails, and then you have to know how to tie up the sails and let them down, and which angle to put them at, and how to anticipate the winds, and how to read that sextant to find the direction. You have to know what you're doing, and to be guided by, even if there's a good crew, they need a good captain. So if you have a good captain in the form of a competent guru, and then the favorable winds in the form of Krishna's instructions in scripture, if one has all these facilities and still one fails to cross the ocean, it's just like killing oneself. That's the example given by Krishna in Srimad Bhagavatam. Crossing the ocean of material existence in Kali Yuga becomes paradoxically very easy. Paradoxically, because in Kali Yuga it's a very bad age, not very suitable for anything auspicious or uplifting, but there is the great hope of Chaitanya Avatar. Lochandas Thakur has sung in Bengali a song, Ke Jabe Tora Bhavashindu Pa. Dhanna Kali Yuga Chaitanya Abhata. In Kali Yuga, Dhanya Kali Yuga, glorious Kali Yuga. Because, why glorious when it's so bad in so many ways? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has descended and he's given the process for crossing the ocean of birth and death. He is taking everyone across. Amar gorange ghate adan kelai jara anda bodhir abodhi par hoy. At the boat landing, the ghat, the place where the boat is tied up, ready to cross, everyone's welcome to come. The dull heads, the fools, the blind, the deaf, everyone can cross over. So what's this boat that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought? This is similar to this Nridehaṁ ādyaṁ. Harināme noka khani shiguru kandari shankitana karwal dubahu pashari. The ferry boat for crossing over is Lord Krishna's holy names. The boat captain or the guide for the boat is the guru. And the oars, two hands stretched out with the oars, you know that for rowing the boat? That is Sankirtan. Then the favorable breeze. Shabjib hoilo pa preme batashe. By the favorable breeze of Krishna Prem, all the jivas crossed. Pariyaro hello lochan apanara doshe. Only Lochan, Lochan Das, the compiler of this song, says, only Lochan is left behind by his own fault. So the word tirtha, yeah, that means to cross over. It comes from root to swim, to cross over. used for waters that purify a person, scriptures that purify a person by learning them. Crossing over refers to the ocean of samsara. It's literally tirtha, a place to cross the river, and many of tirtha means a place to cross over the river, but it's used for crossing over the ocean of birth and death, or crossing over the miseries of material life. Some people go to tirthas not exactly to get liberated, but to cross over a certain difficult situation that they find themselves in at the particular time. And literally, many of the tirthas are on banks of water. Isn't it? We can think of all along the Ganga, every place on the Ganga, any place on a holy river is a holy place. And specifically, we find along the Ganga, right from Gomukh, Gangotri, and then there are the various Prayags, Rudra Prayag, Deva Prayag, Bhima Prayag, some others are there. As we come down, and then we come down to Rishikesh, Haridwar, and then go along, the Kanyakubja comes, which it's an ancient city, anyway, that much we can say. And then we have Prayagraj, Varanasi, and going along there, gradually reaching Bengal, Pataliputra, and then in Bengal comes down to Navadvip Dham. So there are only so many holy places on the Ganga, and even if the holy place is not on the Ganga or not on a river, then a tank will be made. In any temple, a tank will be made, is it not? So the deities will be bathed. The water for the deities is for bathing them is brought from that tank. The water is very important at all the holy places. On the sea itself is a holy place because all the rivers flow into them. Especially in Puri, already the sea there was already considered very pure, but then with Haridas being bathed there after his departing from this world, that became a Mahatirtha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. That's become a Mahatirtha by Haridas's being bathed there by the hands of Lord Chaitanya. And in the Vedas and Upanishads, there are many uses of the term Tirtha, not in the secular sense of just crossing some water, but in the sense of, specifically in the sense of crossing over material existence. Hare Krishna. I'll finish there for now. Krishna willing, we'll have some more later. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Sri Sri Gauranitaya Ki Jai.